For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
As a Pacific Islander woman, my father was very certain that having an education was important for me, and he really said to us that there's no limit on what you can achieve.
My heritage and my hard work, I guess, got me to where I am. Even though there aren't many Melanesians, it doesn't scare me away from pursuing a tertiary education, and especially at a doctoral level, and motivated me more.
I think because there's so few of us in this space, and I know that we can provide so much support for our communities, I feel like if science is something that you're truly interested in and that you're wanting to make a difference, if you're wanting to be of service to your communities or be the leader within your communities, that you can do that through science.
Sisters, if you're looking for great female Pacific role models, you only have to look at the amazing women conquering sports, music, the arts, and even nowadays in business. But what about Pacific women in science? How familiar are you with the trailblazers in lab coats changing lives for people in the Pacific? Today, we want to celebrate those women by talking with three very impressive scientists about their research and how it's shaped by their Pacific heritage. I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's head to the lab to talk to women in science. Preeclampsia is a blood pressure disorder that can really be serious for pregnant women. It can lead to cardiovascular disease, stroke, and it can even kill you. And it affects Pacific Island women at a higher rate than white women, which is one of the reasons why it's such an important area of study for my next guest. Professor Tu'u Hevaa Kaitu'u Lino is co-lead of the Translational Obstetrics Group at the University of Melbourne, where they are busy researching preeclampsia and new ways to treat it.
We're very interested in better understanding how and why pregnancy complications happen so that we can better develop novel tools to predict which pregnancies are at risk and hopefully also develop new therapeutics to help improve pregnancy outcomes. So our goal really is to ensure that more mums and babies get home safely.
And I have to ask, what sparked your interest in medicine and motivated you to specialize in maternal health?
So I've always had an interest in medicine from when I was a very young child, but really I became more interested in medical research and science when I was a university student working or studying for my Bachelor of Biomedical Science. And that was really a focus on understanding how and why diseases happen. And that then, I guess, led to me doing an honours degree and a PhD in women's health research before joining the current team that I'm part of, which is having the focus on obstetrics outcomes, so pregnancy health.
Your work with developing blood tests to prevent stillbirths and identifying those at risks of preeclampsia, can you tell us a bit about those tests?
The main focus of our team at the moment is really on trying to reduce the incidence of stillbirth. So we know that this is a devastating outcome that affects one in every 130 pregnancies here in Australia. And the babies that are at the greatest risk of stillbirth are those babies that haven't grown properly. So the small babies that might have a placenta that isn't functioning properly. So our goal is to try to measure using blood samples from pregnant women which placentas are failing and therefore which pregnancies are small and that are at risk of stillbirth. And so we're measuring lots of different things, including proteins and RNAs, to try to identify a blood test that could hopefully allow more babies to be saved from a stillbirth from happening.
Can you tell us about your current research or work on pregnancy complications?
As I mentioned, we've got this one arm that's really focused on identifying novel biomarkers of pregnancy complications. We've also got an arm where we're interested in understanding how and why complications of pregnancy happen. So in that arm of our research, we really focus on studying the placenta and better understanding the placenta in health and disease. And then our third arm of research is focused on developing novel therapeutics for pregnancy complications. So trying to identify new therapies that might be able to stop the progression of diseases such as preeclampsia, or indeed offer new treatments for complications such as ectopic pregnancy.
And how does your Pacific heritage influence your approach to healthcare and research?
My father is Tongan, so I'm a proud Tongan woman. And really, I think the influence of my Pacific heritage has really been on family as Pacific Islanders. We often have big, large families. I'm a mother of four myself. And really thinking about how and why things might go wrong in pregnancy and how that could then impact the lifelong health of those babies that survive the pregnancy complications, I think has made me think about not just specific babies, but obviously babies around the world and how we could improve those outcomes. And so as a Pacific Islander woman, my father was very certain that having an education was important for me. And he really said to us that there's no limit on what you can achieve. And I think having that mentality and that support from my family has been what's really driven me to continue pushing in this field. And hopefully we'll make a breakthrough to really improve outcomes for mums and babies.
And as you mentioned, a mom of four, how do you balance your work and personal life as a busy doctor and researcher?
I've got a fantastic husband who is a great support person for me. So he's always ensured that I can put my career as an important part of my life. But I guess people often say to me, you know, how do you maintain work-life balance? And I think it's really become, how do I maintain a life balance? Because work is a really important part of my life. And so I've got husband who is fabulous and supports me, but I've also got a really supportive extended family. So my sisters will often help pick up the children or look after my children if I'm off on a conference. So really it's been that support of my family around me that's allowed me to, I think, be successful in this field and continue doing the work that I really love doing.
And how do you think your research or work can benefit Pacific Island communities?
So we know that Pacific Island communities have these complications that I'm working on. We know that they're common within those countries. And certainly we know that low and middle income countries, which some of our Pacific nations fit into, have a higher incidence of some of these pregnancy complications. So I believe that the work we're doing will be particularly important in those settings to help improve outcomes for women, but importantly also for their babies as well.
And what are some of the biggest challenges you face in your work and how have you overcome them?
The funding has been a really difficult part of this research because we're fighting for money. That's success rates for the grants that we're submitting to the government here in Australia might sit around 10 to 15% at best. So every year when we submit these big grants, our chance of actually scoring money to continue the important research is quite limited. So I would say a huge difficult part of this work is getting the money to support the work that we're doing. Having said that, we have been lucky to receive some funding and that really drives us to continue with the passion that we have to fight for the next grant and the next grant and the next grant.
Professor Kaito Lino, what drives you to keep pushing forward in your efforts to improve pregnancy care?
I think it's the legacy that my dad has left with me, which is that I can do anything. And so I'm really passionate that when I do leave this world eventually, that I leave a legacy of improving outcomes. So I would love that, you know, someday down the track, I would develop this blood test that could then help mothers and babies for years and years to come once I leave this earth. So really for me, it's about making a difference, not just, you know, to one or two people, but to women and families around the globe. That's what really pushes me.
What's your advice to young Pacific Island women interested in pursuing a career in maternal medicine?
Well, I think in science in general, young Pacific women should remember that you can do both. So, you know, as a young Pacific woman myself, I was always really interested in getting married and having children. And sometimes I think women think that that limits you in what you do professionally. But I want women to realize that actually you can do all aspects of what you enjoy and what you're passionate about. So in regards to science, we need clever brains. We need people that are passionate about improving outcomes. And so you can do that, but you can also have that other aspect that is often very important to Pacific people, which is family. And so, you know, as a mum of four, I'm happy to say that you can do both aspects. You can be successful in a professional world, but also have the big, beautiful family that's important on a personal level as well.
That's Professor Tu'u Heva'a Kaitu'u Lino from the University of Melbourne. It's nice to hear about a woman who can balance her beautiful family and her amazing career while doing research that'll help thousands of women.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
Type 2 diabetes is such a concern with so many people impacted. Studies show that around 1 in 8 of us is living with the disease. So you probably know someone who has it. One woman is trying to change this. Liana Sabetian is a PhD candidate at the University of Auckland. Her heritage is a huge inspiration for her research.
My mum is from the Solomon Islands and my dad is from Iran, so I come from a very multicultural family. But I did spend a lot of my younger years in the Solomon Islands, particularly in the village where my mum is from. She's from Vavanga in the western province, Kolobangara. I did my first year of primary school in the village, learning how to read and write and maths. And I've always been brought up just, you know, in village life, I guess. And I've held on to all those cultural knowledge till this day. So I'm very lucky that I can, you know, hold on to that and embrace my culture while living in the diaspora, you know, living in New Zealand.
Yeah. And were you always drawn to science as a young kid, or did you develop that on the way?
I've always been interested in science, just learning about how things work and how the body works, how diseases work. And my dad is a marine biologist, so he's very sciencey as well. And I've kind of taken that academic research type of thing from him. But yeah, I've always been interested in science, but I've always kept my options quite broad. Like in high school, I played a bit of sports. I did a lot of dance. So yeah, science, dance, creative, like I think it's all connected.
Now you are studying as a doctoral research student in biomedical science. Could you tell us more about what your research is about?
Yeah, so I am researching about glucose and energy metabolism. We have this system or this pathway called the insulin signaling pathways, which help bring our blood sugar down and control weight. And so my research involves understanding how this pathway works, figure out what happens when it doesn't work properly in diseases like obesity and type 2 diabetes. So if we can figure out how it works, and we can target this pathway to make potential treatments in the future. But the unique part of my research, I guess, is I get to work with mice and cells, unlike humans. And yeah, they help us understand the basic biology of this pathway, and hopefully it can lead to discoveries in the future.
And does your Solomon Islands Iranian heritage contribute to your perseverance to attaining your PhD in this field?
Absolutely. Like I think it's a privilege to be in a space where there isn't really many of us in it. It's pretty special that my heritage and my hard work, I guess, got me to where I am. And even though there aren't many Melanesians, it doesn't scare me away from pursuing a tertiary education, and especially at a doctoral level. I think it motivated me more to be an example that hard work pays off and we deserve to be in spaces like this as well.
And speaking of, you know, spaces, is there a need for biomedical scientists in the Solomon Islands?
Absolutely. I think there should be more Solomon Island biomedical researchers, especially when there's diseases like type 2 diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease on the rise. And I think we need more young, bright people to do research in these spaces and see how it affects us so that we can translate that to everyone else and help our community.
And are there any challenges in the workplace that hinders researchers like yourself from fully doing the work?
I think it depends on how you view challenges. I think one challenge for me at the start was feeling quite alone, and, you know, there's no one that looks like me. There's no other Melanesians around. I think that was one of the biggest challenges I had. But I kind of had to change my mindset on that and think of it as it's an opportunity for other Melanesians and other Pacific Islanders to see themselves in a space like this and to just not be afraid to be your full self. And I think that was... that's a challenge that I faced.
What motivates you to keep doing the work that you're doing?
I think the biggest motivator for me is failure, which kind of sounds a bit odd, but I think failure has gotten me to where I am today. I was very hard on myself in undergraduate because I failed a paper that I really needed, and it kind of had to force me to think of failure in a different way and think of it as you being one step closer to what you're meant to be doing. So I don't think of failure as a negative anymore.
And you work in New Zealand now. Would you like to bring your knowledge back to Solomon Islands and the Pacific at some stage?
Of course, absolutely. I think at the moment now in my PhD journey, I'm just absorbing as much as I can, learning as much as I can. And hopefully, you know, in the future, I can be able to do research related to us in Solomon Islands and hopefully help other people become biomedical scientists and be part of that research. I think, that's one of my aspirations.
What advice would you give to someone or a young woman, or especially a Pacific Islander who is considering taking up this career path?
If you're wanting to be a biomedical scientist, if you have a passion, if you have an interest, just follow it and pursue it. Don't compare yourself to others because every journey looks different. Like, I didn't think I would be here today, but here we are. Yeah, you don't always have to be the smartest in the room. And you have to just have the mindset of wanting to learn and improve. And I think imposter syndrome especially is going to be inevitable, and it's how you choose to respond to it and let it be a driving factor for you to keep going and not giving up. We deserve to be in these spaces as Melanesians, and even if you feel like you don't belong there and you don't see the recognition, be that person to be there.
That's Liana Sabetian, a PhD student at the University of Auckland in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Imagine the difference her research might make for people living with diabetes in the Pacific.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
You might know my next guest. She's got a huge online following and is a big supporter of traditional diets to prevent diabetes and manage it. I'm talking about the Samoan scientist, Amy Maslen Miller. She spoke to us a while back about sugar in our diets. Amy is super passionate about explaining science to people, but it wasn't always that way for her.
I didn't like science in high school at all. I was really bad at it. I failed some chemistry papers in the last year of my high school. So I thought, maybe science really isn't for me. but a lot of my friends at the time were actually going into medical school, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I followed my friends and enrolled in a general Bachelor of Sciences course. And it wasn't until my first year of my bachelor's that I found that I was really good at plant papers, so understanding the cellular mechanisms within plants and a lot of the molecular things. And I thought, I'm pretty good at plants. Maybe I should continue with that. And it was in my last year of my bachelor's that I thought, maybe I could do something in science because I chose these plant papers, and it really sparked my interest in science.
Mm. Tell us about your research, please.
Currently, I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Auckland, and my work is exploring type 2 diabetes, looking at it from the genetics and diet perspective. So type 2 diabetes is when we get increased blood sugar within our blood, and over a long period of time, it can cause severe effects such as nerve damage, eyesight, and worst cases, amputation. And so there are many ways to help address type 2 diabetes, diet being one of them, and also genetics plays a role. And so my work explores the Samoan traditional food to address type 2 diabetes and looks at the genetics within Samoan women to understand the metabolic processes.
Yeah. And Amy, growing up Samoan in Aotearoa, how much did you know about the Samoan traditional diet?
Growing up, I knew nothing. Yeah, I knew nothing about the Samoan traditional foods. From birth, I was adopted into a Balangi family, a white family. So I was mainly raised kind of a Western way, New Zealand way, Kiwi way, and didn't have much connection with my Samoan culture growing up. It wasn't only until my master's, so my mid-20s, that I started to learn more about our traditional foods like taro, breadfruit, the yam, the coconut, banana and fish.
And how did that lack of knowledge motivate you to find out more?
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting because I was able to learn more about my culture through science. For instance, I started my master's was around the taro leaf blight disease. And before I started my master's, I knew nothing about taro. I don't even think I ate taro, but I learned that it's such a staple within the Pacific as people of the Moana. And so I wanted to continue on that journey of learning more about our Samoan traditional foods. And that's what led me to my PhD, looking at Samoan traditional foods to address type 2 diabetes.
You're also a science communicator, known online as the Samoan scientist. Why is it important to you to share your knowledge and research with people?
I love my research, and I think it's so interesting. And in my own personal life and identity journey, I've learned so much about my culture through food. And I want to share that knowledge with people because I know that I'm not alone in that feeling. You know, being adopted into a Balangi family, raised in New Zealand, away from Samoa, often I'll feel like not Samoan enough or not Kiwi enough. But I found that learning my culture through food has really helped me feel more comfortable with my Samoan culture. And so wanting other people to feel the same, you know, like if they don't feel Tongan enough or Pacifica enough, that they too can learn about their foods and help with their identity journey, really.
Exactly. And do you encounter many other Pacific Islanders working in your field?
Yes, there are a couple of us. There's not many, but there's a few people that I work with. There's a Tongan PhD student looking at gout at the molecular level. There's another Tongan PhD student working in Parkinson's disease. And so it's really exciting to work with them and know about their studies because they too are helping communities through their scientific skills. And it's really exciting for our communities.
And is part of your goal to motivate more Pacific Islanders to become interested in STEM?
Absolutely. I think because there's so few of us in this space. And I know that we can provide so much support for our communities. I feel like if science is something that you're truly interested in and that you're wanting to make a difference, if you're wanting to be of service to your communities or be the leader within your communities, that you can do that through science, through the scientific skills, through research, through academia, and really just sharing my experiences as a Samoan scientist where I hope to inspire others to also do the same.
And Amy, how do you hope your research will help people in Samoa and in other parts of the Pacific?
A lot of the Samoan traditional food knowledge is lost. So I'm really hoping to revitalize that knowledge, understanding that food is not only a source of nutrition, but within Samoan culture, it shows our respect, it shows our hierarchy, it also has a purpose within our culture. For instance, the pig, the pua'a, traditionally was divided into certain sections and given to chiefs according to their ranking within the village setting. And we still practice that today on a kind of adapted way here in New Zealand and Australia, but knowing that the origin of that knowledge that is deeply embedded within Fa'a Samoa, within our culture. So really wanting to celebrate our food, revitalize the knowledge, and also start conversations around maybe we should start eating Samoan traditional foods in order to help our health, because our people, our ancestors were very healthy back in the day. There was no type 2 diabetes, no cancers, no cardiovascular diseases. And so really wanting to bring forth our knowledge that we already had around our Samoan traditional foods.
And what do you love about being a scientist?
I love being able to use my skills to help communities, being of use, you know, like being useful, helping people. And so I feel like I'm really in a really, I guess, lucky position to, you know, I've been through my undergrad, postgraduate, master's, have developed the skill set, and that I'm able to help people, help communities with type 2 diabetes or identity journeys, cardiovascular diseases. And that's what I love about science, getting to help people.
When do you think you will finish your PhD?
So I am aiming to submit my full PhD end of April, and afterwards I will then need to defend my thesis in front of a panel. So I think that might be end of this year, might be defending my PhD, and then they will determine if I pass or not, and then, yeah, go from there.
Amy, if you could say anything to that girl who failed chemistry in high school, or to any girls who think, you know, they're bad at science, what would you say?
I think there's so many things I would say. I guess because at the time I was feeling like it's the end of the world and that there was really no other pathway around it. So I guess I would say that there's always another path or another option in order to get into a science degree if that's something that you truly want to do. But also it takes a lot of persistence and hard work to get where you want to go.
That's Amy Maslin-Miller from the University of Auckland. What a legend she is for explaining science to us in such a simple but interesting way. So next time you're looking for someone to inspire your daughters, nieces, or even yourself, don't just look to the athletes, musicians, and artists of the Pacific. There are some incredible women making a huge difference in science. Thanks to my guests today, Amy Maslin-Miller, Liana Sabetien, and Professor Tu'u Heva'a Kaitu'u Lino. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunzna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. Amtasol na lukimu next time.